At the moment we started to praise, what did God start doing? He started working. That's exactly right. At the moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there was dead bodies lying on the ground, for as far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. I mean, God does a good job when he fights the battle, doesn't he, brother? I mean, God can take out your enemies. You don't have to worry about your enemies. God will take them out. Yeah, in other words, he's there. The very minute that we start worshiping and praising the Lord, he literally comes and indwells us, inhabits us, and it lights his fire to do something. Either to heal or to kill your enemies or whatever. But as we begin to worship and praise the Lord, he inhabits or indwells our praise. I mean, he's a spirit being, is he not? So when we start worshiping and praising in the spirit world, we're giving off some kind of a vapor or something, you know, that, and he's coming in and dwelling that. He's all around us and all over us. And nobody better not come and mess with you while you're worshiping and praising God. Your enemies are going to be in trouble. Knowing Eldon, he might have had his foot against the wheel, had both hands up over there. I don't know. You did that some? Oh, he said he did that some. I know I've done that before. I've been driving down the road before, and something will just come up on me, and I just want to, Lord, I want to praise you. Or somebody will call me and tell me about somebody that got healed I prayed for, and I'll just put my knee against the steering wheel to hold it locked in place, and I'll just throw both hands up and start, praise you, Lord. I just worship you and praise you. And when people drive by, they think, what is wrong with that guy? They don't have a clue what's wrong with me, but I'm living in a place that most of them have never lived. Don't you love to live in a place with God? I mean, it's awesome. The Lord shows up. The armies of Moab, they turned against the allies. Then it says, not a single one of the enemy had escaped, verse 25 and 26. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. Oh, just think. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables like rings and jewels and diamonds, more than they could carry. Wow. Who would ever dream that you'd go to war and God would leave all of your enemy's wealth for you? Is that what he did? Sure did. Absolutely what he did. So it took, and it was so much the plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it all. Do you remember, you realize how many diamonds and jewels and golden rings and all that stuff you could pick up in 3 days? Yeah, a lot, guarantee. You could pick up a lot, but that's what it took. God blessed them because they had sought him. They had asked the people to fast and pray and to seek the Lord and what he wanted us to do here. And then when the Spirit of God came upon that prophet and he spoke and told them what to do, they obeyed and they did what he says. And then the king sent men out to praise and worship. They didn't go out with guns and knives, or they didn't have no guns back in those days, but had knives and bows and all that stuff. They didn't even take a weapon. They just went out and started singing and praising the Lord. And God used those other men's own weapons to kill them. Every man from all three nations was killed. It took them 3 days to collect all the plunder. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. I guess that'd be a good name to call it. Which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Wow. That's just like that pastor that I watched on It's Supernatural the other night. He was teaching somewhere, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to him and said, tell anybody that'll come up here right now, I want to cancel their debt. And some of you saw that, but I saw it. Well, I was watching that night, and of course, almost nobody got up, you know, because we don't believe God will do anything no more. You know, we really don't. Well, this guy's trying to be funny, you know, God's going to cancel debt. But finally, this one woman, she grabbed her husband's hand and said, come on, honey, let's go up there. We got a big debt. They ran up there. And she said, we want our debt canceled. So the pastor prayed for them that their debt would be canceled. And he said, okay, we've done what God told us to do. Go back and sit down. So they went down and he went back to his teaching. A year later, I believe it was a year later, he was at this church and the same woman and her husband was there. And when she comes, she said, Pastor, I got to tell you what happened. You remember last year when you were here, you said that anybody wanted a debt canceled, they'd come up and the debt would be canceled. He said, yes, I do remember that. She said, we came up. He said, I remember y'all were the only ones that came up. She said, well, after the service was over, we went back home and said a few days later, I went to the bank to make a payment on the note we had at the bank. And so when I got there, I said, I want to make a payment on my note. And she said, the lady looked up and she said, well, that note shows it's paid in full. She said, paid in full? How did that happen? She said, well, I don't know. It says here the manager took the money. So she called the manager and come over and said, sir, this lady wants to know how her debt got paid in full. He said, ma'am, you don't remember? She said, what do you mean? He said, on that Monday at 3:00 in the afternoon, that's exactly the time they were in the meeting with the pastor. He said, you walked in and paid the note in full in cash. You did. I remember you specifically. Oh, she said, I must have forgotten. Is our God an awesome God? Amen. I mean, everybody in that room, you know somebody besides her had a debt. But nobody believed him except that one woman. And she had to drag her husband up there. He was probably sitting back saying, oh, honey, this ain't going to work. You know this ain't going to work. She said, I'm going up there. I'm going to get my debt canceled. And she believed God, and he did it. Now then, let me ask you a question. Besides Betty and Bill, did anybody else see that on this supernatural? Oh, we got several of you that saw it. Okay, praise God. Wasn't that awesome? That was an awesome testimony. But our God, what can he do? He can do anything. He is exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. So this place is called the Valley of Blessing. Then they returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat, leading them full of joy that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and proceeded to the temple of the Lord. Wow. Verse 29 and 30. When the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over all of them. I mean, you know, every time I read that story in the Bible that about Edom, which is Iran, he says, because of what you've done to my nation Israel, I will destroy you completely and I will not leave a one of you left alive. He said, though you're making your homes in the rocks and the mountains and you think you can hide from me, he said, if you make your home in the stars, I will find you and destroy you because of what you've done to my nation Israel. I wouldn't want to be an Arab at all. If I was an Arab, I'd want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Wouldn't you, Lou? Yeah. Because those Arabs can be forgiven, right? They can become children of God. But those that do not repent for their sins are going to suffer the consequences of what's written in the book. When the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. What do we need? We need a group of men in Washington that will pray and seek the one and only true God, right? Since we don't have that, how are we going to get that? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for these men. We're going to ask God to move on these men's hearts and change the way they think. And if we pray in faith, what's he going to do? He's going to do that. And you're going to be praying in faith as a church. We're going to be praying and asking God to do a great and mighty work in those men's lives in Washington, changing the President of the United States. We're going to be rebuking the devils of hell that blinded Obama's mind and his heart to the things of God. And we're going to ask God to begin to convict that man of sin and bring him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him. And then one day we're going to hear, Barack Obama just got miraculously saved. Oh my goodness, praise God. Just like I've told the Lord several times, I said, Lord, the black people in America have suffered so much. They have suffered so much. I said, thank God. I said, Lord, there were so many great men that were black that could have been president of the United States that could have done a wonderful... I know some of the most godly men and great, intelligent men, and they're black. They're men of God. But I thought, you put the worst black man that ever could have been, and he has done more damage to this country. I don't care what color he is. He's done more damage to this country than any other president in history. And it's really sad to me that he happens to be black. So I'm going to believe that God is going to change him, convert him, and bring him into the kingdom of God and make him a glorious being so that he can be that black president. And while he's finishing his time, he is going to change all the things he's put in, going to take them all out and completely change this country and make it into a country where abortion is illegal, where you no longer kill babies, and where all the things that he's put in will be removed, and it will become a nation, one nation under God one more time. And then they can say, we had the best black president that ever could have been. And not only that, he was the best president we ever had. That should be where we should be able to stand. Because who knows what God's going to do? He's going to do what you pray for in faith. That's what he's going to do. If you pray for it in faith, God's going to move on him. If all you do about him is complain about him and grumble that he's the lousiest president we've ever had and there ain't no hope for him, then God ain't going to help that. He ain't going to do nothing with that. But if we pray and ask the Lord to do what I just prayed, actually spoke, he will move on Barack Obama's heart and he will change that man. Because the Proverbs clearly says, the heart of a king is in the hands of the Lord. And he will flow it how he will. He's going to flow it the direction we pray, isn't he? Yes, he is. So that's why we need to obey God and do what he says. Now then, because they sought the Lord, the Lord showed up and fought their battles. They didn't lose a single man. God fought the battle. And how many of their enemy was destroyed? All of them. And then not only did the enemy be destroyed, but how much plunder did they get? Took 3 days to pick it all up. If I were to spread little diamonds and gold rings and stuff all up and down the road, enough that it'd take you 3 days to pick them up, how many of you think you could pick up in 3 days? A lot. That's right. We can pick up a lot. But are we glad that we serve a God that provides for us? Amen. Yes, we are. He's an awesome God. Now then, I'm going to pray a closing prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. We know that you're in charge of every day and every year. And you're going to take care of us, your children. And Lord, we have your word, and your word promises us if we'll obey you and serve you that you will bless us, you'll take sickness away from the midst of us. All we got to do is obey your word. Lord, I praise you and thank you for being there for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today. But we will return in our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, You Are the Problem, Not God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.